1818 it all started, and I did say 1818 Woolwich Barracks in a meeting not long ago, and an elderly lady jumped up at the back and said, I was there, which was quite disconcerting. She was at Woolwich Barracks and was in 1818. It's a lovely story, and I won't tell you in great detail. There was a Sergeant Rudd. All we know about him was he was a Christian, and he was a sergeant, and he was concerned for the spiritual well-being of his fellow soldiers. All he did, it's such an encouragement, because so often we can feel in our day and age, when Christianity is so marginalised, it can be so discouraging, can't it, sometimes? What can we do? All he did, he put a note on the board, which said, if anyone wants to borrow a Bible, please see me. That's all he did. It created the most tremendous argument, because the commandant at Woolwich Barracks was very antagonistic towards Christianity. But to cut a long story short, Sergeant Rudd had some very influential friends high up in the army who were Christians. And about a year or so later, a horse and cart with crates arrived at Woolwich Barracks. What was in the crates? Bibles. Enough Bibles for every room. And more than that, Sergeant Rudd's little note led to, in 1825, King's regulations stating every soldier joining up must be offered a Bible. All started with Sergeant Rudd. So don't think I can't do anything. All he did was put a note on the board, and God used it in an amazing way. Next date, though, is 1838. Another meeting, Christian officers, wonderful. Soldiers offered a Bible when they join up. But there's a problem. What's the problem?
They can't read.
So this is what we're going to do. We are going to pay Christians to go into the barracks to read the scriptures to the soldiers. What will we call these people? Scripture readers. And that is where Sazra starts. Oh, I'm afraid my slides are all getting muddled up. But you can see, basically, Sazra's mission hasn't changed since then. Sazra's mission is really the same as it was in 1838. It's that everybody in the army, everybody in the Royal Air Force will hear the gospel whilst they are in uniform. That's it. And our scripture readers wear uniform. They go onto bases. They've served in the army. They go onto bases and they share the gospel with soldiers. Now, I'd love to tell you that I served in some of the most dangerous places in the world militarily, but I've been a teacher all my life, so I haven't served anywhere. I did teach four-year-olds once, so that was pretty dangerous and pretty courageous. But if you're in Sazra and you're part of the backup team, you come from all sorts of areas, but if you're on the front line with the soldiers, you have to have served. So our scripture readers carry on with that work. It's obviously an urgent work, like all gospel work is. One thing I'd like to share with you is the army recruits from the toughest, most challenging parts of our society. So if you can imagine, I know it's difficult for me actually, being 18. Imagine being 18 and in the last chance saloon of life. Isn't that a sad reflection of our society today? There are young people who are literally in the last chance of saloon of life. For them, their future is likely to be addiction of some sort or another, crime and prison. That is their likely route. Or they might make it in the army. And yet Sazra has the privilege of sharing our faith with these young people. Of course, it's dangerous. That's Kabul. We're going to be arming these young people and sending them into conflict zones. I think it was Lord Dannett who said, it is unreasonable to ask our young people to lay down their lives without sharing with them the hope the Christian has of life after death, and there is a life after death. I paraphrased him very badly there. Why does Sazza exist then? Because you and I can't go on the basis. That's the only reason Sazza exists. The only reason is churches aren't allowed on the basis. There are church buildings on the basis. Occasionally there might be services in there. But the church as a whole, we're not allowed on the base. So Sazza goes on the basis on behalf of the church to share the gospel. It's amazing that this opportunity exists, actually. Why does it exist? Remember those young people I spoke about? They'd never been inside a church, most of them. They've never seen a Bible. They couldn't quote to you from the Bible. If you asked them to list a commandment, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. They'd have really virtually no knowledge at all. In fact, it's a very sad reflection on our society that amongst the recruits, the army recruiting from often from really tough areas, there are fewer Christians than you'll find in Somalia or Yemen or Sudan, the most unreached parts of the world. It's a really sad reflection. Why is it that we have this opportunity to share our faith with them? Well, it's because these young people are going to be armed, sent to conflict zones, shot at, capture people. What's going to happen then? We know what's going to happen then, unless they have some sort of idea of the sanctity of human life, of basic Christian principles. And the army teaches these young recruits something that they call the moral compass, something that they call the moral component of fighting power. And that's about right and wrong, and it's about every life matters. It's about basic Christian principles. Who's going to teach it? Well, one of the privileges that we have is our scripture readers are asked to teach these young recruits the moral components of fighting power. Basic right and wrong, sanctity of life, those kind of principles. Okay, I'm going to share with you a little bit about where we work. That's a very confusing map, isn't it? But the red dots are where we have scripture readers, and the white dots are where we'd like to have scripture readers. The blue dot is where we have somebody working for the RAF. It's a little bit out of date. We now have two people. We've got about 16 scripture readers. We would like to have 30. So you might reckon, I don't know if this, look at this. You'll know where that is. That is Catterick. Yeah, some of you, yes, I'm sorry about that. Some of you bring back some memories. There are 25,000 soldiers in Catterick. We have one scripture reader. There is such a need. And that's our big message really for the day. We'd love to have more scripture readers, but that's not an easy thing. I thought I'd share with you a little bit about some of the places that we work, just for a few minutes. Household Cavalry, weren't they amazing at the late Queen's funeral? They are in Hyde Park Barracks. They generally don't want to be there. Hyde Park Barracks is regarded as not a very happy place to be. Even the stables are underground. Now, we have a minister called Josh Fortune. He's a pastor. He goes into Hyde Park Barracks for Sazza once a week. He has amazing opportunities. Soldiers come to him and share their worries and their concerns. He's currently meeting about three or four different soldiers, non-Christians, for weekly Bible studies. So tremendous encouragement. He's also having a weekly prayer meeting and Bible study for Christians, because part of our role is obviously to help and encourage Christians who are in the military. So that's Josh. I'm not represented in that picture, but that's Winchester, not far away. We have Lee there. Lee's been there for a number of years. Now, all the new trainees go there after they've been in Catterick. He has the opportunity to offer them New Testaments. Most take them, even if they claim to be atheists. They're only there for a few months, so Lee doesn't often see fruit for his labour. But last year, he met a young man who was very, very angry, called himself an atheist on day one, made it very clear to Lee what he thought of Christianity, and he told him, "My father was an evangelical Christian just like you, and he died. So I'm an atheist, and I can tell you I'm very angry with God." Now, Lee was able to meet with him, befriend him, and about 6 weeks later, this young man said, "Well, I kind of regard myself as an agnostic now. But I'm still angry that I lost my dad. By the time he left, he was asking for baptism. Amazing, but quite unusual. But a great encouragement for Lee. That's Lee at Winchester up the road, really. That's the Military Corrective Training Centre. That's in Colchester. That's military prison. You don't want to be in there. The young people are in there often at very, very low ebb. The military deal with any crimes within the military. So when they come out, they might lose their rank. They might be thrown out. It's not a good place to be. There was a carol service one of our scripture readers took, which they said was one of the most wonderful services they'd ever been in. And they weren't being proud of themselves. They just said there was a sense of God. Everybody came to that carol service, every person in the prison, including all the guards. About 5-6 months ago, there were 6 baptisms of people in the Military Corrective Training Centre. We have a scripture reader who goes there once a week. He often takes services there as well. And he goes and chats to some very, very needy young people. Here's a little bit of sadder news for you. Oh, but it didn't happen. There's a missing slide there, which is that SASRA has just appointed a new executive director called Martin Gliniecki. I've only met him once. He's just starting. Andrew Hill, some of you will have known Andrew, I imagine, or maybe he came here, I don't know. But Andrew was with us for about 8 years, and Martin is just starting. He's a very experienced man militarily, and he's in the Bath, Bristol area, I think. Here's a few prayer requests just for you to remember. The Queen was our patron, the late Queen, as was her father, as was her grandfather. And all I'd say about that really is that if you are under attack, and SASRA is under attack by groups like the Humanist Society, the Atheist Society, why is the army allowing Christians on bases? Why the army allowing our folk to wear uniform, to have scripture reader written on there, to walk around the base? Why? In this secular age, it's quite helpful to have the Commander-in-Chief as your patron. Now, we don't know what will happen. Obviously, the Queen had a natural faith affinity with us. We don't know whether the King will, it's up to him, continue with the patronage, or it may be there might be another sympathetic royal who could possibly take that role. But it's quite helpful when you're under attack to be able to play that card. Our patron is the Commander-in-Chief. That's quite a hard thing to answer against. So our main prayer requests are about royal patronage. What do we do with that? More scripture readers. To be a scripture reader, though, you have to have served. You have to have a real love for soldiers, but you also have to be very wise. You can close down the work overnight by a lack of wisdom. You have to know when to speak, and you have to know when to be quiet. So, more scripture readers. Ukrainian conflict. Recently, I'll just give you a little hint of this. Recently, we had a field service where one of our scripture readers in the north had literally a service in a field with a number of foreign soldiers, young men. They were all young men, 18 to 20, that kind of age. He said at the end of the service, about six or eight stayed behind. He said they were weeping. And they weren't weeping because they knew they were about to be sent back to the front line. He said they were weeping because they wanted to be right with God before they went back. They wanted peace. They wanted sins forgiven before they went back. And recently, the same scripture reader phoned HQ and said, can you get me 25,000 Ukrainian New Testaments? That's the number of soldiers he believes will be coming through, that he will have the opportunity to offer New Testaments to. I'm going to move on. I'm not representing that picture. My role, very briefly, is I regard it as SAS. S is my role to support scripture readers. A is for advocates. That's a point of contact in a church willing to give out our magazines. You already get our magazines. And S is for supporters, because lots of Christian churches have never heard of SASRA. So part of my role is to make SASRA a bit better known. And I'm going to finish there. And I'll be around at the end. If you would like to ask some questions, I'll be very happy to seek to answer. But thank you for your support for Sazra. Our great need is for more scripture readers. And that's that's a difficult thing. If I could just share with you that I think last year we had something like 12 or 14 people inquire about being a scripture reader, and we're only able to appoint a couple. You know, so it's not everybody who's served who can do the role. It's got to work from everyone's point of view. Well, let's just sing 4-5-3. We'll sing maybe just the first verse. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, and then we're going to think about He is risen. 4-5-3, and we'll stay seated.